I want to take you back to my book that the Lord has me, let's say, pressured to go forward with. And I want to kind of give you a little bit of an overview of what the Millennial Kingdom will be like. So that you have, you know, the scripture says, without a vision, people perish. And so if you have a vision, it gives you something to look forward to and something to grasp onto. So in chapter 7 of this same book, I'm going to be quoting from Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. St. Paul says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This goal that Paul seeks is not heaven, as heaven is included in our salvation. And all who are saved will be there. Thus, there is no need for us to seek heaven, but we are to seek that which we will be, which is spiritually mature. There's your tree, girl. In the ages to come, not age to come. This includes the development of our spiritual capacity. So we will have the ability to function in eternal relationships and purpose. Take that into consideration. The development of our spiritual capacity so that we will have the ability to function in eternal relationships and eternal purpose. 1 Peter 2:2. A newborn babe desires the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The prize is to hear the following words spoken over us by Jesus. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. Matthew 25:23. Notice it says, I will make you ruler. You are not making yourself ruler. You're not ruling under your own steam. The Lord is doing the work. At the time of our salvation, we are born a spiritual baby, and then we are to grow into spiritual maturity. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:12. You see, this is the goal that Paul is pressing forward to grow into spiritual maturity. And I know each one of you is on that journey right now. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith, Ephesians 4:13, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Did you hear that? Which belongs to the fullness of the Anointed One. The sum total of all our choices and decisions during our life experience should result, I stress the word, should result in our having come to the measure of spiritual maturity, in which the body, which is us, will have become proportionately to the head, which is Jesus, both individually and corporately. It's individually and corporate. The salvation will get us into heaven, even if we remain in spiritual baby, unable to spiritually function. Our primary purpose in life is to grow into spiritual maturity, which will enable us to fully and properly function once we are there, which means in heaven. However, there is something of utmost importance that must first take place. The millennial kingdom of God. Then after this, the eternal ages, heaven will follow. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages, and again, it's ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Notice that the ages to come is plural. This includes the millennial reign of Jesus and the new heaven and earth that will follow. Isaiah 65, verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens with an S and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered. That's cool. The former shall not be remembered, nor come into your mind. Do I get an amen? You won't remember the suffering. You won't remember the torment. You won't remember the rejection.
Amen.
You won't remember the garbage that you lived in. During his third heaven visit, Paul saw into the future. Are you ready? 2 Corinthians 12, verses 3 and 4. This is the King James Version. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. He became the 12th apostle, taking the place of Judas, and probably saw this future millennial kingdom and desiring to be there. That said that he was born out of due time. I'm going to repeat that. He took the place of Judas. Probably saw the future millennial kingdom, and desiring to be there, said that he was born out of due time. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. There are times when you and I get revelation, and when you first get it, it is a joy. Until you open your mouth. When you open your mouth, you're actually releasing truth. And when you release truth, there will be persecution. So there are times that you get information. And things that you have done or have been asked to do by the Lord. And he'll tell you, keep your big mouth. Why? Because he's trying to save you a lot of headaches. A big mouth can get you into trouble in seconds because the darkness cannot handle the truth. I go back. The prize that Paul desires relate to the millennial theocratic kingdom, which follows the church age, but precedes or comes before the new heavens and the new earth. Revelations 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones with an S, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. There will be a millennial theocratic kingdom which will demonstrate to all creation how God will rule all mankind and the nations, in contrast to the rule of Satan, which rule he usurped through deception. Revelations 20, verse 1 through 4. I'm sorry, it includes 4. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. This rule, dominion, was first given to Adam by the Lord. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Genesis 1, verse 26. Chapter 2, verse 8 and 15 says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put a man whom he had formed. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Adam and Eve forfeited this dominion, and all creation came under the influence and control of Satan. There is a basic foundation reason why there must be a time limited millennial kingdom in which God will rule the nations without interference from Satan. In effect, Satan has said that he could rule better than God in his infinity wisdom. I'm sorry, in his infinite wisdom. God has permitted Satan to rule mankind for 6 days, man's time. Therefore, God is obligated to also rule mankind, which will take place during the seventh day, which is the millennium time. Isaiah 14 gives you a picture. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. Verses 13 and 14. All creation heard this. Did you hear that? All of creation heard those words from Satan. And subsequently, 1/3 of the stars, or the angels, fell from their places in heaven. Revelations 12:3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew 1/3 part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. These stars, and I want you to hear this, these stars are the angels who believed what Satan had said concerning his ability to rule, who then fell with him from their appointed places. Take a deep breath right now, because I know some of this is very heavy And it's not religious. You need to know it's the word that has come to a place where we need to accept it and recognize that if we don't mature, we will fall short. And that's not what I want, and that's not what any of you want. So Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear right now. Give us a heart to understand, because we need understanding. And we need to have wisdom how to apply it. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These fallen angels became the power of darkness, or powers of darkness, that are entrenched in the heavenlies, who through deception presently rule or greatly influence the nations. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Genesis 3 responds, verse 14 and 15. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat. What are you and I made out of? Dust. All the days of your life, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. In effect, the Lord said to Satan, you bruise their heel, injured their walk. Did you hear that? Bruise their heel, injured their walk. But they will bruise your head, bring you to an end. In his infinite wisdom, the Lord is allowing all creation to see how Satan rules. But in the midst of this, he is preparing overcomers. He's preparing you and me.
Amen.
Who even after now beginning to displace Satan's rule, we wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this world. John 10:10. The thief comes not to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The rule of Satan results in famine, war, sickness, disease, violence, murder, and more. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see you shall narrowly look upon you and consider you, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of their prisoners? Isaiah 14, verses 15 and 17. That's Isaiah 14, verses 15 and 17. The world has never seen how God would rule mankind, but they will see, and the question will be forever answered. Ephesians 3, verse 9 and 10. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. I repeat, by the church, defeated, but you're going to be making known the manifold wisdoms of God. And that's your job. You are the church. I am the church. Corporately, we will make the enemy see what the Spirit of Truth can do. One of the mysteries of the kingdom is that the Lord will do this through the very ones whom Satan deceived. Try that on for size. Say, the mystery of the kingdom.
The mystery of the kingdom.
Is that the Lord will do.
The Lord will do.
Through us.
Through us.
The very ones whom Satan deceived.
The very ones whom Satan deceived.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The manifold wisdom of God.
The manifold wisdom of God.
The answer is Revelation 5:10. And have made us to our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Amen.
Isn't that cool? Not without a challenge. Because every single one of you is in a challenge. That's how you mature. You'll never come out of challenges and say, oh, I've got the last one. I'm all set. I've got news for you. There'll be a new one around the corner. Not that I want one, but I've been around for a while. Some of you are laughing, but it's the truth. I saw you guys clapping because, again, there's a purpose for maturing. And if you see the purpose and you see the ultimate goal, then you will be able to say, okay, God, I need more grace because I'm having a hard time right now. And when I'm having a hard time, I need to reach out to the rest of the saints. That's what the saints are for. I called my brother yesterday and I said, well, the Lord. Okay. All right. Believe it or not, I had to go to the cemetery to pick up some flowers that I was no longer going to be watering out there because it's every day they got to be watered. Otherwise, they're going to die, blah, blah, blah. And so I parked in the cemetery, and before I get out of the car, the Lord says, call John. Oh, I'll call Ann. So I call Ann, sitting in the cemetery amongst all these saints, okay? And so I call him, and I said, Lord, what do I do? What is it that I'm calling for? He said, you sing him a song. Okay, Lord. So I'm talking to Ann. 2 seconds, she says, oh, I didn't know I was going to get put on because I didn't ask that far. She says, oh, yeah, I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to have you have John pick up. So sure enough, he picks up, and I start singing. Love lifted me. And he says, oh, I didn't know I needed a serenade. I said, well, that's what the Lord said. So he was having some difficult corners, I guess, and the rest is history. What I'm trying to tell you is, it's not a wise place to call a friend while you're sitting in the cemetery. But you know what? They weren't bothering me, and maybe they needed to hear a message about love. So God knows what he's doing. Obey the Lord. Do whatever he tells you, even if it seems silly or maybe out of your particular norm. Do what he tells you. Did we have a good time on the phone? Yes. Did we talk for a while? Yes. I think that was just to let him know somebody cares. And that's the same thing with you and I. When you get a press to obey, do whatever he tells you to do to the best of your ability. It doesn't have to be strange or weird. You don't need to go to the cemetery like I did. Just obey the Lord. And your maturity will develop by obedience. Do you hear me? Say, my maturity,
will develop
by obedience.
By obedience.
Try it again. My maturity. Will develop by obedience. And when I hear from God,
don't procrastinate.
Do it.
Just do it.
In Jesus' name.